Psalm 88, verse 1. Yahweh, I have cried day and night before you. Well, there's a number of passages where David appears to say that he specifically prays regularly, morning and evening. Psalm 5, 55, 59, 119. So when he says here, I have cried day and night before you, you could say, well, that refers to his morning and evening prayers, and I certainly do urge you to get in the habit of morning and evening prayer. I think when I was first baptized, I got the idea of praying in the evenings, but the idea of getting up early in the morning and actually spending quiet time with God, I had not really been taught. And yet, quite clearly, that is a major Bible teaching. If you're not into that, start it. Seriously pray in the mornings. Get the day off to a good spiritual gear. But this, I've cried day and night before you, the idea seems to be that I've cried all day and all night. So prayer is to be something which characterizes life. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. You may say, well, I can't literally be praying all the time, and of course you can't. But the point is that our whole life should be, as it were, a prayer. Prayer is a spirit of life. God sees our situations and our attitudes as if that is a prayer. He hears the voice of our weeping. He hears the voice of our tears, David says a number of times. That is not to say that formal prayer, specific conscious prayer, is inappropriate or not needed. Of course it is. But those specific prayers, perhaps morning and evening specifically, I mean prayer as in an extended period of prayer, those prayers are but a crystallization, a distillation, if you wish, into words of our overall life. And so David's first waking moments and his last moments as he went to sleep were prayer to God. And of course this was the time when the daily sacrifices were made. Whilst you can easily slip into legalism here, I do think it is so that by nature we need discipline. We need these spiritual disciplines. You need to pray on your knees morning and evening. You really do need to have this as a discipline of spiritual life. I mean, he also says that seven times a day. In another psalm, he says seven times a day he prays to God. I'm not saying only morning and evening, but I'm saying that specifically from the example of David, you do get this impression that he had prayer sessions in the morning and in the evening, coinciding with the time of the offerings, the daily offerings. He says, verse 2, let my prayer enter into your presence. Turn your ear to my cry. So he imagines the words of prayer entering into the very ears of God in heaven. This is an awesome conception. And of course, not only morning and evening, but whenever you pray. It's an amazing idea that a guy standing at a bus stop in South London can pray to God in his heart, maybe with his eyes open, and those words are going into the very presence of God. They are entering into his ears. They are going right into his throne room. This is an awesome idea. And so therefore, we've got to take prayer seriously. That this is not a sort of psychological insurance policy that, oh yeah, well, I better pray about it. Oh yeah, rattle something off. I think it also helps us insure against that very strong tendency, I guess we all have, to rattle off the same words. It is, of course, difficult to, you know, consciously find a range of language to use, and of course I'm not saying we should do that merely for the sake of it, but I am on the other hand pointing out that you can so easily slip into forms of words and to mere formalism, where this is nothing more than ritualism really, when if you understand that your words are entering right into the presence of the God who personally exists as a personal being in some kind of corporeal form, so far away from us, in heaven itself. But there is heaven, and there is God, and those words enter his ears. This is an amazing conception, and just appreciating that of itself surely inspires us to intensity and regularity in prayer and actually looking forward to it.